in the game, we really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie. Ain't no lie when we hit the block, helmets casket is top. You be seeing helmet after helmet, helmet after helmet. First place, second place, fifth place, eighth place, 12th place, 15, 16, 20. So many helmets, you got blurred vision, we got...
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another Bold Call Fantasy Football Podcast. Today, we are taking a look at NFL draft props and the relevancy for potential Dynasty and Super Flex drafts. But mainly, we're going to be looking at bets we can make on tonight's NFL draft. Joining me, as always, my co-host and my partner in crime, season-long says, the Encyclopedia Footballica himself.
Yeah, man, this is an awesome. You wouldn't need to tell anyone watching this podcast right now is a draft fanatic. There's going to be a lot of cool things, and there's still advantages to be had in the prop market, which I'm going to be laying down some stuff later. But some of the props I've already laid down, they're already null and void. We'll talk about those specifically with Najee Harris. I thought he was not going to be a first round pick. Every credible mock right now has him absolutely going to the Steelers in a very donkey move by the Steelers, taking a running back in the first round.
We have the props. We have the percentages. We got the odds, and we got some really cool potential bets for you on tonight's draft. Make it fun. Grab a cocktail. Grab some crushed grapes or some brew. Enjoy tonight's event with some money on the line. Now, before we get into our breakdown today, I want to talk about Drafters. A really awesome best ball site. They're sponsoring this podcast. And the main thing I want to talk about with Drafters today is their big best ball early contest. They're calling it the Drafters Early NFL Best Ball Championships. This contest locks today when the draft starts. So it's a full best ball tournament that ends as soon as the real NFL draft starts. And the reason I'm talking about it beyond everything else is massive overlay alert. They are going to be giving away free money in this. As of right now, it's a 6,000 entry contest. They got about 4,500 people in there. I believe this will maintain about a 20% overlay amount as the tournament begins. That just means that the rake is covered. They're giving out more money than they're taking in on this contest. You want to get in on these style of best ball tournaments.
Use our code there.
Well, yeah, you got to use promo code DFS Army. Get a 25% deposit match. That's DFS Army when you go to Drafters. And the cool thing is, if you're a DFS Army subscriber and you're watching this, you can go to the NFL season long tab, grab our rankings, and draft away early and use a lot of the information that we're going to be giving out today on this pod to get a sense of which rookies you should be targeting in your best ball pre-draft drafts. All right. Says, let's get into it. NFL draft is tonight. And I got to give it to DraftKings, by the way. The way that they have props laid out for tonight's event is really, really spectacular. You can bet on just about anything. Now, before the show, we were talking about two bets that I don't want you to make. Okay? And Says asked me, why not? It's free money. And the reason is because it's never free money.
I was not saying, okay, we're talking about Trevor Lawrence going at pick one, obviously.
Yes.
But, and it's minus 10,000, meaning you'd have to lay down 10,000 to win your 10,000 back plus 100 bucks. And I wasn't about to do it. I wasn't about to go under my mattress and take the $10,000 out to do it. But it does seem like it's a virtual lock. You're betting against, you know, God forbid, permanent injury or death between now and the draft for Trevor Lawrence. That's basically what that bet is.
One thing I've learned as a gambler, beyond all others, is that nothing is certain in this world. Nothing. And so, as much of a lock as it probably is that Trevor Lawrence goes number one overall to the Jaguars, and you say, hey, I'll lay 10,000 to make a hundy. The question is, yeah, of course, it's extremely likely, probably 99%+ chance. But what if Trevor Lawrence gets into an accident driving to the draft? What if he gets caught, you know, snorting something off hookers' asses, the night before to party?
And by the way, you're in luck. YouTube has relaxed its language policy.
Oh, so now we can actually be found because of my foul language. That's great.
Yeah,
to hear.
Well, for monetization specifically, well, but yeah, but same thing. For, you know, it just says that light adult language is now acceptable.
Oh, there we go. Well, that's good to know. Yeah. Now you'll actually be able to find this podcast if you aren't purposely looking for it. But on that note, if you actually want to know when these podcasts pop up, remember to like and subscribe to this channel. Smash that like button right now.
Do you think like and subscribe, like every podcast says it, they go like and subscribe, rate and review. Like, why the hell would I mean, if you're already listening to this, like, what do you think? Like, because I very rarely have ever do that with the podcasts I listen to. What do you think would get someone to like and subscribe on a podcast?
You know, I do subscribe to podcasts that I like because I can't find them again. So what for me, when I see somebody that I'm like, oh, I enjoy this, I'll never find it again. It's hard to find things. It's usually popping up on my timeline. And if I like it, I smash the subscribe button and that's it. Cause okay, I know
that's fair.
I'm not going to find it again. So, okay. I mean, the like, I don't really, I rarely hit like too. I don't.
Right.
Know
but,
what
I,
does,
but I now
but I
that
subscribe.
Yeah. But now that I'm, you know, we're doing podcasts regularly for the last few years, I am a little bit more generous with my like to ones
people,
I like.
People stingy with those likes. Anyway. So the point is
Clipboard just said, same thing you said about, nail it just to mark it as being found.
I'll forget who that was. And so, yeah, I've got to smash the subscribe and then they always show up. So
by the way, we'll get to my man Clipboard in a second with that, with his emptying out of his team.
No, we don't want to talk about, talking about private leagues here. Okay. so Trevor Lawrence. So it seems like this is just an important lesson for if you're a gambler and you're betting. Things that in our mind seem like they're 100% certain because our brain doesn't allow us that what the what if that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
Do we want to spend much time on
Trevor? I just want to tell you a story about a business I got into where the only thing that could fuck it up is a global pandemic.
Right. Okay. All right.
You
fair
know what
enough.
I'm saying? Like, that's right, not
fair,
gonna happen.
Fair enough. Let's think move on. That. We got 30 minutes to give people the good content. Let's
there
go.
We go. So don't bet on Lawrence, but he, you know, don't bet on Wilson. Pick number three is very interesting to me. So I want to talk about the odds. We got San Francisco on the clock. You're on the clock.
Traded three number ones to get up there.
They traded to get up here. Everybody talking about Mac Jones. People saying rumors about now Trey Lance. And the current odds for Mac Jones, -250 for this pick. Trey Lance is sitting at +250 with the dark horse, Justin Fields, sitting at +500.
That's the one.
Now, you want to take a stab at something crazy? Yeah, I mean, all information is that it was between Jones and Fields. For whatever reason, they do not like Justin Fields.
Or it's the best smokescreen in the history of the NFL. And that's not, you know, that's worth something. Because as we talked about yesterday, you only need to hit on one of these long shots and the rest of your prop bets are fine. You know, last year, if you had bet at, was it 20-1 that Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the RB1 drafted, you were good with the rest of your props. Think about this, Geek. Forever, it was Lawrence 1, Fields 2. What changed? Actually, if anything, Fields' game against Clemson when he dominated Trevor Lawrence should have boosted his stock. And now all of a sudden he's lower. I like the Fields or Lance prop just based on the odds alone.
Just a little trick if you're going to bet this. This is from Statsational, the sports betting goat himself. Always bet these type of props, quote, to win one unit. You don't bet one unit. You bet it to win one unit. Let the +500 dictate what portion of the unit you
want
to bet.
Why though? I don't necessarily agree with that. So I want to know why, because I want to be convinced.
Because when he's taking these long shots and he does this for his PGA bets as well, he'll be able to bet 7, 8, 12 different items and still not risk even a single unit. So he only needs one of those things to hit to be profitable. So the bet is always like, and even if one hits, he's not just profitable. He might bet like 0.2 of a unit. The longer the long shot, you get tempted to bet like half a unit on it. You do that, you're going to lose your money fast. So these are super long shots. I think it's a long shot. It looks like Mac Jones is going here. I have seen rankings by respected analysts that have
mock drafts.
What's that?
You mean mock drafts.
Mocks and you know, and rankings from draft analysts, you know, like the Todd McShay's of the world and Mel Kiper's of the world, but other guys. where they did have Mac Jones almost equal in skill and rating to at least Lance Thomas.
Trey Lance.
So at least close. So I do.
Who the hell is Lance Thomas?
Lance Thomas, the tight end from the. He's good too.
I don't even know who that is.
Isn't that the tight end? Isn't it Logan Thomas? Okay. You know what? Leave me alone.
I just didn't know where that came from. Logan Usually Thomas, I can like
I don't know how that came. That I don't know how that came in. So I do think it's going to be Mac Jones. Am I laying minus 250 on that? Man, hell no. Hell no.
Hell no to the hell. Hell no.
I'm not laying that. But yeah, I don't mind taking a shot on Trey Lance or Justin Fields to win one unit here. I did not take that bet though, because I actually think they're going to go with Mac Jones here. I think this is one of those times when there's smoke, there's fire.
The Lance Zierlein's latest mock 4.0 has the Patriots trading up to 7 with the Lions to get Trey Lance.
It's crazy.
Would you like that for fantasy football?
Wait.
If the Patriots traded from 15 to 7 with the Lions and they took Trey Lance at 7, would you like that for fantasy football?
Yeah, I love that. I love that for fantasy football. I think that would raise Trey Lance probably to maybe number 2 dynasty quarterback. Their thought is maybe we'll sit him for a year behind his twin sister Cam Newton. And then elevate him to the. But I think
it would be. Remember, Trey Lance is only 20, not 21. He's 20 years old, right? He's going to be 21 in May. It's one of those things where I don't think it'll. I mean, it might take an extra minute to get him up to speed, but I don't think it'll be long. And Bill Belichick's not going to like, hey, I'm sitting this guy for a year. Like, that's not within their framework. If the guy's ready to play, he's going to play. So that would be interesting. The other thing is, I think. For some reason, this thought occurred to me a while ago, but it really came to because we're in a super flex draft tonight. Is I think Zach Wilson is being undervalued because of the reputation of the Jets and the previous regime.
100%.
This is a new regime. Zach Wilson, by many professional accounts, you talk about Chris Sims, these guys who actually watch and grind the tape, that he's a good quarterback. I mean, obviously we know the downside, but you know he's going at like pick 9 in these rookie mock draft. Sorry, rookie super flex drafts. That does feels incorrect.
The Jets deserve the reputation that they have for being a ruinous team to young quarterbacks. So I think the Jets fully deserve that. But yes, if it was any other team, then. I do think you're getting Wilson at a bargain price, and he's going to be somebody that I personally will target if I can get a bargain on him. But I'm not taking him over these runners. In the end of the day, what do you want in fantasy football? You want a quarterback with that running upside. You want Fields or Lance.
Well here's the question then. Is in these rookie drafts, and we'll get into the prop portion of this in a second, would you take Zach Wilson over one of the running backs should both of them land in good spots?
No. The running backs are going in super. They're going to go ahead of Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson is going to come off the board.
But what would you do? What would I do? If you're at like pick 6 or 4 or 5, whatever it is, and Zach Wilson's there and both running backs are there, if you have your choice. I know it depends forget team. On, no, don't give me team construction. Don't give me that.
I'm probably taking one of the running backs.
Right. And I think the market will agree with you, even though we're saying right now that's probably not the right pick.
It's probably not the right thing. Well, we've talked about in Superflex, and this is a whole different topic, but we've talked about in Superflex, the value of the quarterback is above and beyond running backs, and people don't realize it. People are wrong. You should be targeting young running quarterbacks constantly in these leagues because you're very easily able to trade them for quality running backs if you need one, assuming that quarterback works out.
Switching back over to props, because that's what we want to do here. Do you want me to lead this off with telling you what my favorite one or two props are on the board?
Let me throw a couple more out at you before.
Okay, because some of your favorites. I took two of them already.
Okay, you've got two, so we're going to talk about those. But I want to talk about a couple of other interesting ones. DraftKings just has it broken down really, really great. So top five can go anywhere. Justin Fields. Minus 125.
Is it 5.5 or 5?
No. one, two, three, four, or five. Top five. Okay. It includes pick five.
So I would take the oh, so what's the over on that?
There's no over. You can only bet if it happens. You can only this is a little scarier type of a bet because you can only bet yes.
And what is it? -125?
A +125. You're getting plus money for Justin Fields to go in the top five picks.
It's an underdog. It's an underdog pick.
I'm gonna break down what I think the first three will be.
It's not
it doesn't even matter. It's gonna be we know Lawrence and Wilson, and then either Matt Jones or let's leave it at Lance.
It's, right. It's that's a bad bet right there. That's a bad
So bet. You're saying both the Falcons and I believe the Bengals pick fifth? Right.
Yeah,
they're not both gonna trade down.
No, they're both set on position players in my judgment. They're both okay. I think that Pitts is going four, Ja'Marr Chase is going five.
Or would you rather have just Trey Lance at +125?
Yes, but I still don't think that's good enough odds because you can get Lance at +200.
You might as well take the +250. Yeah, you might as well take the +250 right. that they go.
And that's what I'm saying. Fields is probably a bigger underdog to go. It's a sucker's bet.
Because the thought process is, these are all a lot of these. We want to make sure we're not in a sucker bet.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do you see why? Because it's basically saying you can get Justin Fields for +500 to the 49ers. You know he's not going 4 or 5. So really, this bet will Justin Fields go in the top five is really saying will he go at pick three or not?
So your thought is Kyle Pitts to Atlanta, Ja'Marr Chase to the Bengals.
Yes.
Yeah, both of those guys are quite high. In odds, Kyle Pitts is -400 to be a top five pick, and Ja'Marr Chase coming at -200. So the expectation is definitely on the betting odds that these guys will go.
That Fields prop is really saying, will he go pick three or not? And you can get
it's the Trey Lance is more that I think Justin Fields is will one of these two teams trade down. And by the way, I don't mind it because I think there is a reasonable chance even what we think will happen doesn't. Some team moves up. They love Fields. They've been quiet because they don't want anybody to know it. The Broncos move up, grab Fields with pick number five. Fucking money in the bank.
All right.
Could happen. All right. So tell me about some picks, some draft props that you like.
Well, I took three props. One of them I think is already dead. I'll start with the bad one I took. So I thought about a week or so ago that Najee Harris at over 29.5 at +110. So basically I was saying that he was either going to go to the Bills at like 30 or 31, wherever they pick, or he was going to be out of the first round. So by all reports are that he's not getting past the Steelers in 24, I think they have. So I think that one's dead already. But the two I liked and the odds are not as good anymore was there was even odds. It was -110 on both sides of this prop. Who will get picked first, Waddle or Devontae Smith? And both were -110. So I smashed Waddle about a week and a half ago. Now, if you want that same prop, Waddle's -180. So again, if you win, who cares? But the odds are went from -110 to -180, showing the market agrees with that sentiment that Waddle will go ahead of Devontae Smith. So yeah, that was
if you look at all the props between those two, it does look like the order is going to be Chase, Waddle, Smith.
Well, you could bet that. Well, you could bet the order, and you could actually add in a fourth guy, Elijah Moores, who I think it is probably going to be. And you could, on DraftKings, say who will be the first four in order and get pretty good odds on that. You can get like +225 or +200 on that specific order.
I want better odds than that. I think especially between the trickiest one is between Bateman and Elijah Moore.
Right, right. That's where, and you know, I wonder if there's an arbitrage there where you could take both. Like the first three, then those guys is the fourth.
I love I'm going to give it to DraftKings as I'm going through. You can bet so many different things on these draft props. It's amazing. So
what's crazy is somebody knows the order. Like, why isn't Kyle Shanahan making a huge bet on who's going to be the third pick? You know
what happens? What happens when you start doing that and you're Kyle Shanahan?
Just have a proxy, right?
Or like, you get busted. Like, hey,
but is that busted? I mean, yeah. They know that. Why? They know that he has that information. Is there anything, you know, like he could say his friend can go make a $10 million bet on whatever, and then he could just do it. He doesn't even have to tell them.
All right. You want to see, going back to your Najee Harris pick,
Yeah.
So here, the over under, because you can bet over under a certain pick on a player.
And yeah, I love mine. I got 29 and a half on that.
They have 24 and a half over under right now.
That's the Steelers or not Steelers. That's what that is.
Basically, will he go to the Steelers or not? So the expectation is Najee Harris. So for tonight's super flex dynasty rookie, whatever draft that we're in.
Well, explain to the people. We're about to take place in a veteran plus rookie dynasty super flex draft that starts before the players are landed. We're doing it tonight.
Yes. So what I'm throwing out there, what this prop is telling us, that Najee Harris will be the starting running back, full workload guy for the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team that likes to throw to the running back position with Roethlisberger at the helm. Nice. So now, assuming that's the case, where do you rank Najee Harris as a rookie running back?
Yeah.
Dynasty startup superflex.
Probably RB12.
So tell me the names that are around him. Who's he behind?
I would say that he's probably right in the cluster of J.K. Dobbins, Aaron Jones. You're talking about in a dynasty, because obviously Aaron Jones, you and I are going to have it 4 overall in redraft this year.
Yeah,
but in dynasty, where he's age 26, I believe, and you know, or going on 27. So I would say right in that, I have like J.K. Dobbins at 10, Derrick Henry at 11, and Aaron Jones at like 9. And then right after that is like, here. Actually, you know what? Instead of me saying like, let me actually open the rankings.
Yeah, I'm just curious, because to me, I'm thinking Najee Harris, young starting running back. Like, I'm taking him ahead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Helaire hasn't shown me anything.
All right, so young man. All right, here I'm opening the dynasty ranking. So just for RB, right? That's all you want to know?
Yeah, just RB.
Currently, in my rankings, I'm gonna go from pick 6, because my top 5 are McCaffrey, Barkley, Taylor, Cook, and Kamara. Then at pick 6, ranking 6, I have Akers, DeAndre Swift, Nick Chubb. That's 6, 7, 8. Okay, here we go. 9, I have Antonio Gibson. 10, J.K. Dobbins. 11, Aaron Jones. 12, Henry. 13, Zeke. So somewhere probably like 12 or 13. Henry is obviously older, to age 27. So right ahead of Henry, would you say? Around RB12, behind Dobbins and Jones.
Dynasty, just for pure longevity. Obviously, I like Henry a little bit more this year.
Right.
But that sounds about right. About RB12. So RB12. That's where the rookie, you definitely want this guy ahead of.
Well, this is who I had him ahead of. I would have, right now, my 12, 13, 14, 15 goes like this. Henry, Zeke, Eckler, CEH.
Yeah, I'm taking him ahead of Eckler. I'm taking him ahead of CEH for sure. And Zeke is a tough one, but yeah, probably.
Zeke's only 25, man.
I don't
care. Back with Dak.
He looks
Najee Harris is going to be 23 going on 24. He's a little bit of an older rookie. Yeah, he stayed for the full 4 years.
See, that's interesting. That does make a little bit of a difference there. So you're really not getting that much more youth. I think that's the range, and you make your decision. Do you want to go young or do you want to go sure thing? But I think Najee Harris on the Steelers this year is great. But technically, I'm not a fan of what the Steelers might become without Ben Roethlisberger. I don't even know if Roethlisberger's got another full season left. So I'm a little nervous about talent from the Steelers in general. Sorry, Steelers fans. It's not a team where I'm looking to target a lot of offense from, but it is interesting to think of him going to the Steelers for sure. I'll give you a couple other ones. So
you remember I was going to tell you the other prop that I actually took that I like?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, you know, the one I told you I hated, you know, the Najee one, I'm dead on that one already. I love my Waddle prop. The other one is, now I know this is not your type of thing because it was at a minus 420.
You just got to see the over under on Waddle.
Was it like minus 220 now?
No. I'm just, it's,
oh, it's probably what?
Pick 11? 9.5.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, that's a
top 10.
Prop. Hold on. Let's stick with one subject here. The other prop I took, you're going to hate because it's minus 420, but it's under 5.5 quarterbacks in the first round. So we know the 5 that are going in the first round, right? We know it's Lance, Fields, Lawrence, Mac Jones, and who did I miss?
Yeah, Lawrence, Fields, Jones.
Mac Jones.
Wilson.
And Wilson. Lawrence. Right. Okay. Yeah. So that's five. So really this prop is, will somebody sneak in to pick 32, or will it be Tampa to take like Davis Mills or Kellen Mond or someone like that? That's really what this prop is. And I mean, that's the danger zone, is pick 32. What do you think about that prop? One, not against value, just obviously five quarterbacks, and then versus the value I got.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think it's going to be correct. But I don't want to lay minus 420 on anything. I'd rather parlay that with something else and come up with a few different things to. Right. I don't want to lay minus 420 on it.
I did. So I'm going to be shaking in my boots with pick 32. Obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen. Tampa needs a quarterback. So you know, there's I wouldn't have laid that. I wouldn't have laid that chalk right there.
Yeah, I don't know if it's chalk. You know, I think that maybe it is chalk. Maybe it is chalk because sharp money would not do it.
Rashawn Slater, over under pick 9.5. So pick 9.
I think over because I like him going to the Giants.
50-50 odds. A lot of these are 50-50 odds. So you've got.
But you see, there's some talk that he could go to the Panthers at 8. That's why that prop is there.
Yeah, no, I like the overs on a lot of these. I think a lot of the draft analysis is wrong. So I'm gonna always bet on the analysis being wrong. Here's one that I like. Travis Etienne, over pick 30.5. So round 2 for Travis Etienne.
No, that means he can go to the Bills at 31 or 30.
I get it. Yeah, 30.5. So who's pick 30?
Pick 30 isn't, let's see. So 32 is Tampa. 31 was the Chiefs, but now it's the Ravens. So Bills are 30.
I don't think that the Bills are going to take Travis Etienne. Yeah. I'm willing to take my shot on the over plus 101. So you're getting, it's not really plus money, it's even odds. But I don't think, I've heard the rumor they could take it. They've got two running backs over there. You know, Moss, he's not that bad. I don't think this is needed. And
well, here's the counter argument to that, is that they're a loaded team. They're good on defense. They're good at every position. You could argue that they're one area of weakness, and they're in the Super Bowl talk right now. They're one of the teams that you would think could be a Super Bowl contender. Their one weakness is running back. And they have two guys that are fine, but to get an elite prospect, if you think Etienne is that, then...
Why isn't wide receiver and tight end looked at as their weaknesses? I don't get it. So to me,
well, because there's not going to be an elite tight end available at that point.
Not going to be?
Kyle Pitts. I mean,
no. What about Freiermuth?
But yeah, Freiermuth. Again, we talked about this. Tight ends. Freiermuth would be the tight end one in many classes, but this is not a plug and play guy. This is so like Dawson Knox is coming into his third year. This is the year where tight ends start to blossom a little bit. Freiermuth is a nice prospect, but he's not going to be like plug him in year one. He's great. And if their Super Bowl window is now.
The Bills, I think they don't have good wide receivers. And well, they do. That's, I
mean, you know, wait, hold on. Stephon Diggs is not good.
Stephon Diggs is, that's it.
Oh, Cole Beasley is very productive. Emmanuel Sanders was signed. He's a capable NFL receiver. And Gabriel Davis, who everybody likes.
Does that not sound like a team that could use a stud at wide receiver, though?
I don't know if there'll be a stud because think about it. At least 4 wide receivers are off the board. So you're getting wide receiver 5 at that point.
I mean, is that so terrible?
Yes.
Elijah Moore?
I think he's going to be gone. I think the Ravens will take him at pick 27.
I'm just saying,
Tennessee at pick 22.
I'm just saying, like they could use a wide receiver as well.
But then you're getting into
they could wait to the second round and get another running back. I think that's a great over to take. I'll take my shot 50-50 on the over on ATN. I don't really see two running backs going in the first round.
I like it too. I saw ETN at under 35.5 about a few weeks ago. I liked that, but that's kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah, and we're taking the over. As a matter of fact, I'd like to go to that book and then arbitrage so I can own 30 to I can own 31 through 35.
Yeah.
That's how you make the arbitrage. Right. Part of the great thing about these props is if you can shop them across a couple of different books, there are SIP scenarios because they're not coordinating where you can actually just create a certain victory and no loss. It basically, if you lose, you lose nothing. Yep. But if you win,
it'll be like a 5-pick
window that you win money.
Look down the list. Tell me your favorite prop of like just eyeballing it. I know you have to like look into it a little bit deeper, but what do you think is your favorite prop first round there that you like? You know, the prop market, you always want to get in early, like we talked about a little bit, but there's still some value to be had as I'm looking down the board. You know, the ones that we're reading here are a little bit trickier. Is there anything that you see that pops out to you, even something with the defensive guys, Geek?
I didn't pay very close attention to the defensive guys at all, so I will not have anything like that standing out. I care about fantasy football only. Therefore, I purposefully don't pay attention to any defensive players. Sorry, I don't have any props on that. But I really like this. I like the Etienne over 30.5 is probably my favorite bet here in the first round, just because I don't really see two running backs going in the first round. That just so rarely happens. And I think it's just speculation about the Bills taking another early running back. I don't see it. I don't see them doing it. So I'm going for the over. I think it's just speculation and 50-50 odds. I'll take my chances there with the ATM prop, which stood out to me.
With the last 15 minutes, you want to talk a little dynasty startup, because we are venturing into a dynasty startup draft tonight, or do you want to stick with the props here?
I like the props, but I'd love to talk a little bit of dynasty startup as well and relay it to these props. So guys, if you're watching this, I don't know what it is. I feel like this is the year that a ton of people are getting into dynasty, and especially dynasty superflex, and especially early. Like, I guess it's, you got to be pretty hardcore into fantasy football, which we are. But you know, I'm in my second new startup of the off season already. You are in way more than that.
Yeah, and this is my fifth startup of the off season.
And actually, I'm going to tell the listeners my favorite new kind of format, and we haven't even done one of these yet, but I love it because it just became available. So if you're watching this, you're probably into DFS as well, like I am. And I get very, very busy during the NFL season, to the point where it's hard for me to manage a bunch of different leagues. So Sleeper just introduced Best Ball Dynasty format via their app. And so we already talk about Best Ball all the time on the show. We love Best Ball in terms of the single year approach, the big tournaments and all of that. You don't have to manage your team. There's no waivers. There's no nothing. You can do some trading, but beyond that, there's nothing. Sleeper introduced, and we got to do a few of these, Best Ball Dynasty format, where you could draft a dynasty team. You obviously, in Best Ball, you want to have a very deep roster, and you don't have to manage it. So you don't have to do anything in season. You can have the fun of the draft, but no in-season management. And then every year after your first year, you do a rookie draft, and that's it. So, you know, take all the monies. So I'm really excited about that format as well. Love it. Love it. So our DFS people doesn't have to distract you during NFL season when you're hardcore into making lineups, DraftKings, FanDuel, all the different sites, and drafting on Drafters, promo code DFS Army when you sign up over there.
Use code says, give me my 10%.
No, I did the Drafters promo.
Drafters. Yeah,
promo code DFS Army. So, and you're drafting your Best Ball leagues there, but you could do Best Balls on Sleeper with your friends. So I hope to do that. But in the 2QB format, let's tie it in for the Dynasty to the draft today.
Yep. We have two QB and two tight ends.
Well, aside from that, I want to talk about some positions now, right? Quarterback. Where does Johnny Lawrence, he'll burn your food like Florence.
Trevor. Johnny Lawrence. Johnny Lawrence is the guy from Karate Cobra Kid.
Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
Do or die.
Does Lawrence go in a startup? Is that really the question?
By the way, I love Cobra Kai. I'll say it again. Trevor, where does Lawrence go?
Top 10?
Which... Burrow or Lawrence?
Take your pick, either or. I mean, that's if I was on the clock, I would take Lawrence, but
that's the spot though. I'm taking Lawrence. Just to be clear, I'm taking Lawrence ahead of Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson.
Yeah, those guys were more like second or third round, I think. Or Wilson will probably go in the top 15, top 20.
That's what the old guys, right? We know that Russell Wilson is awesome.
He's 32 years old.
So let me ask you this.
Rodgers is old.
Assuming that Trey Lance goes to one of the 6 through 10 teams, Denver,
Yeah.
Patriots trade up. One of those things. Now, where do you have them on the quarterback scale?
Yeah, I think it would be a guy that, okay, this is where I'm going to start to see the downside of Lance, all right? Now, we all know the upside, and we love the upside. There's no reason to discuss the upside. We all love, but when you're talking about a 20-year-old quarterback that has a limited sample size playing in an inferior conference, I mean, North Dakota State, they were playing teams like New Hampshire. You know, they're playing like, you know, it was, that's where you're not going to take a guy like that over Russell Wilson, over Aaron Rodgers, I think, or, I mean, somebody about, will, but that's very Hurt? Risky.
How Jalen about Hurts, the Jalen Hurts level?
Yeah, Jalen Hurts has proved it on an NFL field. He's, you know, obviously he's not going to have the same draft capital as Trey Lance.
So but, how do you make the call? What's the
yeah,
call?
I mean, I'm still going with Jalen Hurts, but I can understand at that point why somebody would not and take Trey Lance.
Okay, so I'm going to throw the last guy in here. Fields. We all love Fields. A skill set made for fantasy football. The clear Lamar Jackson of this class. He goes in the top 10.
Better thrower than Lamar Jackson.
Well, I say Lamar Jackson, I mean like a guy that everyone's like, I don't know, for some reason they don't believe in him, so he drops
right,
weird.
Right.
And you're like, what the fuck? Why is he dropping? I don't fucking know.
You well, know, we like, don't know if he's going to drop.
Actually, I think Deshaun Watson is the better.
That's a better analogy.
Because, yeah, analogy. Right, because you're Watson, like, wait, everybody loves Deshaun Watson. I don't want to say why he's dropping, but social justice. That's what I think. I don't, right, I don't but, know.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that because feel like Lamar Jackson dropped to the last pick of the first round and someone had to trade up to get him. Watson dropped to the 10th overall pick or something like that. It's that's where Fields
is
floor is
a better example. So yeah. Fields drops. He goes top 10. He's in the top 10, but he's in on a team that we like. Denver.
Panthers.
Panthers. Denver. Whatever. Washington, Chicago finds a way to trade up. Chicago's not finding a way. Chicago's going to get like Mund. You know, they're gonna be the one that mess up your prop, and they're going to take one of those. They're going to take that sixth quarterback because that's Ryan Pace.
He's very bad.
Gave me a heart attack when you said that.
Dude, it's Chicago you should be scared of, not any other team. They're gonna fuck up your minus 400. But
Minus 420.
Ugh. You're minus 420. Chicago. You want to put lay minus 420 on a thing where Ryan Pace has a determining factor? No.
Jets are the new Jets, clipboard Jesus. The Jets are the new Jets. Now, just Fields, he goes to one of those teams. Where is he on the draft board? Is he the bargain of the dynasty rookie super flex startup? Is he the bargain of it? Yeah, where can I get him?
I told you, I still think Zach Wilson's the bargain. He's going to fall below those guys, but
what round? What round? I haven't been. What is he in the fourth round? Zach Wilson's still hanging out?
No. I mean, oh, Zach Wilson. Yes. Zach Wilson, yes. I think he'll be there in the fourth round.
Can I get Fields in the fourth round?
Again, every draft is different. And it's here's the thing. It's someone's going to be looking at like, okay, so it's the third rounder. And do I take Justin Fields, sight unseen, maybe starting behind Sam Darnold or some other situation, or do I take, you know,
it's, I don't think it's going to be that. I think it'll be
hold on, let me finish yeah. thought. Or you, do I take wide receiver 4 or 5? You know, like that's, you're going to be like, hey, do I take DeAndre Hopkins or do I take Justin Fields sight unseen? I mean, you're going to have to make those type of decisions in this league.
How crazy is that? How crazy? Or even after, I'm even saying after, but before that, you're right. I forgot you were not going to know in this particular league, but in general, I'm just saying, you know, he's going top 10. You know, he's going to a team that needs a quarterback, right? We just know these things.
Man, but you don't know if he's going to be good. 50%. So there's 5 guys going in the top 10 picks, supposedly, or top 15 picks. 2.5 of them are going to bust completely. Just by historical rates, 2.5 of them will be horrible. 1 of those 5.5 will be okay. And probably 1.5 of them will make it to a second contract, max contract. Meaning, like, you know, Baker Mayfield went 1-1. Are the Cleveland Browns giving him a max deal with his next year?
Yes.
Or okay, so you know, and that's kind of like shaky, right? Like that's like okay, we're giving it to him, but
I think they will, right?
Right. But, and that's my point. He was the 1-1, and it's like questionable. And you know, someone like Sam Darnold, he's not getting a max deal next year, even if he performs like solid. Like he'll get like a modest 1 year, $12 million, $18 million deal. So that's what I'm saying. Of these 5, just remember, 2 of them are going to be horrible. One of them's going to be solid. That's probably Lawrence, right? And the other one's going to like maybe make it to that next max deal. That's the reality.
That's what makes it tough, man. That's why when you have a guy that you can rely on at the quarter, well, that's why we've talked about this a lot, that in these startups, we really have to value a quarterback that you're feeling really good about that has locked in a long career. Once they lock in this long career, you get two of those guys, that's what you need to be at. I don't want to give Clipboard Jesus any insight.
No, again, no, we're going to actually do a smoke screen like Shanahan here.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, man. So let's just talk. We got about 5 minutes left. I got a couple questions for you about Dynasty Startup. This is not a super flex league. This is a start two QB league and a start two tight end league. You're picking where? In the middle of the round?
I'm picking sixth overall, right in the middle.
I'm picking first overall. So I think from a strategy perspective, I think these are two very different strategies where you could kind of let the draft come to you, whereas I have to anticipate what's going to happen. So I definitely have a more difficult task, but I also, if I'm courageous, and that's why I'm going to be heavily intoxicated tonight while I'm doing this draft, because I want to be courageous.
Very right? important. Very important.
Very important for drafting on the end cap. All right. That you have to be aggressive on the end cap, because you learned this the hard way in our $300 high stakes league, that if you just kind of let the draft come to you, hey, I'm not going to take this guy because he's not the right value. You don't want to take Tyler Boyd in the fourth round. That just felt disgusting. But all of a sudden, you don't. And now the receivers that come back to you are like two tiers down. So talk to me a little bit about how you plan. I mean, you don't have to give away specifics, but the middle, like, did I hit on this? Like in the middle of the draft, you can kind of see what's happening on your left, see what's happening on your right, and then just react.
You've got there drafting on the end cap. You're right. It's very tricky because usually there'll be one player that will drop to you that you're like, ooh, I hope he gets here. Right.
So you probably will get there.
Yeah. You get like one guy that drops, but then your second pick, all of a sudden there's no value to it. It's ever two players that you're like, oh, I hope those two get here. Right. So now basically what happens is on the 2-3 turn, you'll be looking at, with pick number two, a guy that's probably valued in the middle to late third round.
Right.
But
someone that has like an ADP of like 35, and I'm going to be taking him at 24.
You have to be willing to do it, because what ends up happening is if you don't do that, those guys are gone. So you will not have value with the second pick. I, like I said, I don't love the end cap pick personally. Well,
here's the difference, though. When there's rookies mixed in, I will have the value. That's why I did it. Because the rookie, at least four rookies will go, or at least three rookies will go before in the top 24 picks. So someone is going to fall.
Let's say in your mind, you go into the draft saying, I'd really like to get one of these three rookie running backs that look really good. ATN, great. Najee, great. Javonte Williams, great. I'd love to get one of these guys. So at some point, somebody's going to start the rookie running back run, right?
They'll go one and two.
Yeah, sure. It'll be like, boom. Najee, and then like a couple picks later, Etienne's coming off the board, and it's like you're not going to have that shot if you're picking on the end cap. You won't have that shot.
But that just means like Miles Sanders or Austin Eckler falls.
Yes, of course. I mean every action has a reaction to it. But the point is, if you have certain strategies that you wanted to pull off, it doesn't work. The other thing is, you might say, well, you know what? I didn't get my second quarterback. Now it's kind of the scrub tier, right? So this is what happens. And you're like, I don't want to start taking, you know, these old guys like Staffords and the Goffs right now.
Wait
another round.
Wait a second. So here, you just hit on something here, because the old guys, so that's the advantage of taking Pat Mahomes, right? At 1-1 is that I don't have to have like a locked and loaded QB2. This is just one strategy. I could rotate guys that have a year or two left tops. Nine. I can rotate through Derek Carr, Ben Roethlisberger types. I could take a shot on Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill later on and rotate those guys through if I want to. Or obviously there's another strategy of just going all in.
Well, this is what I'm saying, but you'll be like, all right, I don't want to take him right now because like now there's these awesome
running backs and receivers,
WR1 types still on the board. I don't want to take Matt Stafford now. And so another two rounds pass and you get back to your pick again. And, you know, it's like, oh, you know, we're at a couple of these guys that I kind of liked are gone. Now it's like Jared Goff and a couple of names that might not last, like
guys
like
that don't have job security. Darnold. Yeah.
But you're still looking at quality position players. Like, holy shit, I don't want to do that. Well, you know, Terry McLaurin's still on the board. All right, let me wait one more round. And next thing you know, you wait another round and all the good players got, and then you're like, oh shit, I got stuck with Ben Roethlisberger as my QB2. So that,
and I'm this screwed in this league. And this happened to you in that draft, and I saw it. So watching that happen, plus being in these drafts, I know, and you know, I'm not going to reveal that strategy right now, but there is a round that I know is the last round that I could forego QB to get value. There's a round that makes me feel icky. Let's just say, for example, it's the sixth round, right? I'm just using that as an example.
Yeah.
So normally I would expect to get the Roethlisberger, Derek Carr type in like round 7 or 8. I know in six, I can push value in two rotations, in two wraps. I could either do it on the 3-4, 4-5, or five, or the next one. So I just know that if I push it off in the 2-3, I have to either do it now in the 3-4 or the 4-5. If I push it off at the next one, then I have to. So there is a wall where I know is the last time I could do it. I've studied these drafts. I look at the ADP, and each time I kick the value play down, if I kick it past that wall, I know now I'm swimming without a life preserver in the ocean. I do know that.
At some point, again, you wind up with nothing at QB2 or some old guy that is almost worth nothing.
Right.
And you're like,
at some point you're like, okay, I've done it one last time. I better take Andy Dalton. You know what I'm saying? It keeps getting worse.
But that pick, you're taking Andy Dalton above Tyler Boyd. And you're like, man, if I had just addressed this,
right, but then you wouldn't have had Boyd with this. But then you wouldn't have had Kareem Hunt as your RB3. You know, like I'm saying is that I rationally know I'm not jumping into the ocean not seeing what's at the bottom. I'm jumping into a pool seeing what's below me with the clear water. I know exactly how these things goes. And I'm saying if this is your first dynasty startup of the season, picking on the end cap is very difficult. This is my fifth. I've studied these things. I purposely chose to pick one when everyone ran away from it because I know how these things go. I know likely how this draft is to play out. The only thing that's throwing a little wrench in it is that the rookies are unlanded in here. So I'm not a rookie unlanded drafting type of guy. So I will lose out on Justin Jefferson, you know, that from last year. That's the downside. The upside is I will have a team that's built to win this year with players that normally I wouldn't get in a veteran only draft. That's the trade-off.
Yeah. I think it's really, really important going into these drafts. And my approach is always just thinking about, do I care about winning this year or not?
Oh, I care.
Yeah. See, I don't care about winning in the first year. I care about setting up my dynasty for long-term. I'm a long-term outlook kind of guy without getting into some cycle of like being like some shitty team that's always in rebuilding mode. So there's a smart way of doing that where you don't necessarily have to care about winning in your first year. And I do think that's the better way to go into a dynasty. Any dynasty draft is really not caring too much, but not saying I'm going to sacrifice and I'm going to have a shitty team or I'm taking all rookies. I think that's the wrong approach as well. But I'll give you a player example, like with a Deshaun Watson type of player. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are going to be like, well, you know, he might have some value, but this year he's going to be shit. He's going to be probably suspended.
I mean, you don't think that's actually true. You think like what some people will think.
No, I think he probably will be suspended for some number of games this year, and he's not going to have a good year. Like, you're not expecting that. So he's going to drop. And if you're staring at him in your startup draft, you're going, well, am I playing for this year or not? Because you got to spend like a third round pick on this guy who's probably worth more than that. But it's like,
I mean, he's a top five because if he was healthy and everything was fine, he'd be a top five overall pick.
Yeah. So he'll be there potentially a few rounds out because of these. Yeah. And by the way, he might go to jail. He might be out of football forever. There's that real chance. This guy is, you know, he loves his massages. I get it. I love massages too. Me and Deshaun, we're similar in that way. But he's got a little bit of a weird quirk he likes to do when he gets
supposedly.
He allegedly likes to do. And I don't begrudge anybody that, but there are special places for that. I actually DM'd him. I'm like, bro, you got to go to one special. Say happy ending, big neon sign on the front door. That's the one you go to. It's expected. Don't call the lady to your house and tell her, come in, I need professional athletic massage work. And then go creepy with it. Okay. Just go to the place that they offer those services. That's the way to do it. Don't tell them who you are either. They don't need to know it's Deshaun Watson. No one knows what you look like. Literally, no one knows what you look like. You play football with a helmet. The beautiful thing about being a football player, no one knows who you are. Unless you're Peyton Manning, very distinct look. Tom Brady, super good looking. A quarterback that's handsome and modeling on GQ magazine and shit. A couple guys like that. Beyond that, no one knows who you are. You walk around, I don't know. I don't know that was you. If you saw Justin Herbert like walk by you at the mall, would you know who that was? Would you automatically be like, holy shit, that's Justin Herbert? Or would you be like, that dude looks a little like Justin, but you wouldn't know. Like, Cez, you want
to? No. Oh, okay. I thought you were talking to the
audience.
Would
you know Justin Herbert if he walked past you at the mall?
I would know Justin Herbert. I would
just randomly walk past you. No,
I mean,
no.
He's a tall guy. A lot was made of his appearance, you know, before the draft. I think so. But I know your point is well taken, though. Your point is well taken.
Like, the masseuse doesn't know what Deshaun Watson looks like. If he just went into some place that takes care of you, happy ending style, they wouldn't be like, oh, Justin Watson. And then start like filming it and throwing it on the internet. He'd probably be fine.
No. All right. Well, that's very insightful, the information that you gave to the people there, that you totally derailed our dynasty conversation. Congratulations on that.
Let me tell you something. Understanding massage parlor etiquette.
Yeah.
Very, very important.
So you had people hanging on to a thread, knowing where, asking where to draft Deshaun Watson. And now
I don't want to say because I'm in the league. I think,
all right, man.
I think you're taking him though. Let's
wrap here because this needs to be, this is not an evergreen podcast. This podcast for the most part is draft props that people are going to watch tonight. So I want to get it up on the site.
Here we go, guys. Remember, good luck tonight in your betting on these props. Have some fun. Remember to bet to win one unit. Don't waste one unit on these long shots. And my general overview advice across any bets that you want to make, go to DraftKings. They have a really good setup for it, for betting on props for the is don't assume that what you know is wrong. I like the overs across the board. Surprises always happen in the NFL draft. They always happen. The people who walk around acting like they know what the fuck they're talking about, they don't. So bet the overs. I'll take the over on the running backs. I'll take the over on, like, all of those situations. I'd rather take the risk that those guys who are speculating about things are wrong. So that's how I'm going to approach this draft. I'll be taking the plus money and the overs, betting to win one unit, and hopefully take some extreme long shots to where you can take a bunch of those, have some fun, just win one, make all your money back.
All right, man.
For season-long Cez and myself, Kevin Allen.
Adios.
Remember to like and subscribe again. Like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
Got the best coaches in the game. We really ain't playing. We regroup up in the Slack chat where the coaches debrief. We be piecing these puzzles, occupy the chunk of the pie.